Welcome, everybody. Hello, check. I've got one of my old friends from the college days, my good friend Doobie Rob. Rob, go ahead and say hi.
Hello, Lenny, and let me just say at the front of the show here, thank you for inviting me to be a guest on the number one rated podcast across the United States.
That's right.
I appreciate it.
Right. Yeah. Welcome. Welcome. Thank you for being a contributor, not just a guest, a contributor.
Thank you.
Content contributor. So, everybody, so Bob and I have known each other since 1996. We met each other on the, we lived in the same floor in the dorms when we both went to Texas Tech. And Bob had been there 1 year before. He started college in 95, right?
Yes, that's correct.
Yeah, so something magical happened on that floor. I don't know if it was marijuana. I don't know if it was booze, but no, it was booze. It was booze. So one of our neighbors got a bottle of Crystal Palace, and we kind of had the housewarming party. We were all in his dorm room, and that's kind of where we all got to meet each other, right?
That's right. Yeah.
And Crystal Palace is a very high-end bottle of vodka. Comes in a shatterproof bottle, so if you're careless and you drop it, it doesn't shatter.
Yeah, I would say a pretty typical college meet and greet.
Yeah.
Started off on the right foot.
Yeah, it was a social interaction. Yeah. So anyways, so since then, I don't know how, we've managed to stay friends for the most part. And also, a lot of the friends on that same floor in the dorms are still friends. In fact, when I was texting them, now granted, none of them live in Houston anymore, but when I was texting them earlier today, I was asking them, hey, you know, I'm going to have Doobie Rob over, and what are some good questions and things that we can talk about? And everybody was eager to pitch in, and which was good. It's good. But one of the things, and actually this is our friend Clint from California. He goes, while you're at it, float the idea of having a bachelor party for him pretty soon. So, by the way, sorry to spring that on you as a surprise, but Clint wanted to know if we can have a bachelor party for you pretty soon. So
yeah, to celebrate the fact that I'm still a bachelor after all this time, sure. We should probably do it annually.
So you met your girlfriend in 1995, or in 1997, right? Or was it 96?
98.
You met her?
Yeah, it's 20 years.
20
this
years.
Year for us.
Wow, yeah. And you guys have been together for 20 years. That's impressive. I don't know anybody that's been together that long, besides like old people like my family. I don't have any other friends that have been together with their spouses that long. So congratulations to that.
Thanks.
So anyways, before the podcast, we were chit-chatting about what topics and what other life lessons we had to share. And why don't we start with the spring break? Because granted, the school year is over and everybody's gone, but the next year's coming up and kids are going to want to start planning their spring breaks early. So. And you said, yeah, today marks the 20-year anniversary, right?
Well, not today, but this year in March was the 20-year anniversary of our infamous trip to Padre, and I thought it would make for a good conversation topic, because I've listened to some of your previous podcasts and doing my due diligence before coming on the show to see what I was getting myself into, and interesting stuff there. And at the same time, I thought, well, he's probably going to ask me a bunch of relationship questions, and you know, in the vein of life-splaining that I'd like to dodge. And I was like, ah, boring. Come on, let's talk about the time we partied balls.
So yeah, so spring break 1998. So the last podcast, I had another college friend who we were bitching like old people about kids these days and the modern conveniences. One of the things I was going to talk about on this is, you know, when we had. So we drove from Lubbock to South Padre Island, which was about a 650-mile or 700-mile drive. And we got a great deal on a condo in South Padre Island. And we were all underage, but my statute of limitations is okay that it says. But I had family members buy us beer. And I remember they were taking the beer order. And there was five of us, right? And
yep.
we ended up requesting, what was it, 230 packs apiece?
Yeah.
So we got about 300 beers.
Yeah.
And they were sitting there like, Jesus, that's a lot. And we're like, well, we're going to be here for like 3 days.
Right.
So, yeah. And we drank every bit of that. Yeah. And like idiots, we all got different shit. Like this is back in when they still sold Miller Genuine Draft.
Yep.
Like Coors Original.
One of the old favorites, yeah.
Yeah.
MGD.
MGD, like all kinds of, like they didn't have fucking craft beer in 1998. There was no Shiner. Shiner was around, but That was about as crafty as it got.
Yeah, but we weren't affording that anyway
No. Well, back then too, remember, a 30 pack of Miller was $11. Remember
yeah.
that? Yeah. So anyways, so we ordered a shitload of beer, and pretty much our itinerary was we go to the beach, dig our own like park chairs or chairs, or something we can lounge in the sand, drink, and then go in the ocean and pee. Go back and drink beer bongs, and then I don't even remember what we did at night. I think we tried to go out at some clubs, but that was ill advised.
Yeah, we really didn't have any sort of script to go by. It was just like show up and start having fun. But in the evenings, I do remember we went out three of those nights, and once we went to Louis's, once we went to Charlie's, and one night we went to this place I think called the Black Marlin or something like
I think those are still the hot spots down there. I'll have to check with my friends back home, but I think those are still popular hangout joints.
One of our friends actually did the bungee jump down there, which is I think the longest bungee jump in
who did it
in the United States. Clint. I think it was at Louis or something like that.
And I completely forgot.
Oh, you don't remember that? Yeah.
No.
Yeah, he got up there and bungee jumped.
I do remember I was driving my sister Saab, and he knows the story every day. But he was trying to show off to the girls because he was so tall, and he stuck his head out of the sunroof, and I stopped short, and he smashed his head against the roof.
I do remember that.
That was pretty. He did get mad, but that was funny as shit, though.
That was hilarious.
And then what else happened? Oh, was that the trip where the car overheated on the way back?
Yeah. It was
a leak in the radiator.
I think we had to leave St. Patrick's Day. It was our last day there. We checked out, and then we started driving back to McAllen.
Yeah, and we overheated the car
on the bridge, and it became
a big situation. Did we even get that car home? No, right? Did we leave it there?
We left it there.
How did we get home? I forgot. Fuck, I forgot about that.
How was it? Did your sister come pick us up in another vehicle?
Maybe they did.
Something like that. Yeah.
But see, the thing is, though, and this is the thing that's it's hard for me to explain this to people now because we're so ingrained with all this convenience. But like back then, like the car broke down on the bridge of the beach. Like we were on the bridge crossing over from South Padre Island into Port Isabel.
Yeah, not a convenient spot.
Not in a convenient spot, and it's not like oh shit, the car broke down. Somebody pick up the phone and call somebody. And we had to get out of the fucking car, walk to a fucking convenience store because it was traffic, remember? It was
right.
Had to walk to a convenience store, and first, what did we do? Oh, yeah. First, we got some engine coolant, and said, let's pour it in. And as we're pouring it, Brent goes, hey, maybe we should check to make sure there's no leak in the water in the radiator.
Yeah.
And he looks under, like, every drop.
And it's pouring straight through.
Every drop. He's like, oh, well, that's not going to work.
Yeah, it's just pouring right onto the concrete as we're pouring it in.
No, I'm sure that's like some biohazard now. There's like five people got cancer from that. But anyways, yeah, so we had to walk to a convenience store and then like with change, make a phone call with a payphone and get help.
Yeah, that's how you did it then.
And it's the strangest thing because even like that party or the get together in Brandt Storm, it wasn't like they sent out, and they had emails. We had emails, but it's not like people check their emails. They didn't even check it every day.
Well, you weren't checking it from a cell phone.
No, well, there was no cell phone.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, you had to go to your computer, wait 15 minutes for it to turn on.
Yeah.
And then, like, if you were lucky, get an email.
Yeah.
So, like, all that shit was word of mouth.
Yeah.
And the thing that I make the biggest deal about this now is, like, if you made plans, fuck, you had to keep them.
Yes, right.
Like you say, hey, we're gonna go meet so and so. Like, well, fucking, that's what we're doing. We're gonna go meet so and so, and you couldn't change halfway through. And find out where Bob is, and get a hold of him and call him and Rob, and then say that that we're gonna do this and that. Just change plans.
No, that didn't happen. I think that's a good point. The youth of today has no idea what it's like to actually have to make plans and commit to them.
Yeah, make a commitment.
A good example that I was talking to a friend of mine who has a teenage daughter, and she was acting up, so he grounded her for like a week without her cell phone, and he was telling me about how she was completely lost in how to live life without her cell phone, and he was laughing about it because he's talking to me saying, hey, they don't even know how to make plans in advance to do anything. It's just all instant, on the fly.
We used to have to watch our porn on video cassette.
Indeed, we did.
Like, there was no convenience of a phone in the bathroom at work.
Right.
it was inconvenient as hell.
You had to,
you had to wait for everybody to leave the house.
Right. You could, and if you had a big family, that was tough. Few and far between.
Yeah, you couldn't just sneak out to the bathroom. Well, so like, yeah, I guess when you're young, you had the nudie mags, and you could sneak off into the bathroom. But like, there's nothing as enjoyable as getting that porn VHS.
Speaking of which, you don't have to tell me.
Yeah. So speaking of which, do you want to talk about your first job?
At the grocery store?
Is that your first job?
Yeah, you're talking about my first job. What are you getting at here?
What job I remember you having?
Okay.
Store attending.
Yeah, oh, that job. Oh, that part-time college job. Yeah. At the video store.
At the video store.
Oh, yeah.
The video rental store.
That's right, yeah.
How long did you work there?
I worked there for about a year and a half to 2 years.
Have you? Does everybody you know that you worked there?
No. Not everybody.
No, in fact, they're not all going to know either.
Just the people that were customers there, like yourself.
Repeat customers.
Yeah. Yourself and probably the other five guys that are listening to this podcast right now.
Well, you know, I don't know if I was technically a customer because I didn't really pay.
Well, okay, yeah, that would be a technicality. But yeah, you had a tab, but you didn't really pay. But you were there.
I was there. Yeah.
Lenny, you were there.
So, I remember I was living with our buddy, I won't say his name, but I was living with a buddy of ours, and it was towards the end of college, and it goes along with this, but so it was towards the end of college, and I remember I came home from school early, or class early, and he had gotten, I think he had like a tooth removed or something, so I think he was on some kind of painkillers. So he was sitting on the couch, kind of like in a little bit of a daze, and I walked in, and he's sitting there kind of giggling, and the TV's off, but he's just sitting on the couch like he's watching TV. And I'm like, hey, dude, what's going on? And he's just kind of laughing and snickering. I'm like, you're right? He's like, yeah. Just kind of took some pain medicine, so I'm just kind of, you know, spacing out a little bit. So I said, all right, okay, well, as long as you're okay. And I walk around the corner to go to my bedroom, and I noticed that the TV was off, but the VCR was on, and it said play.
I think I might know who you're talking about. There. He was in there beating his dick like it owed him money, I'm sure.
Yeah, pretty much. I didn't want to know about it. I don't even know how we got those couches. I don't know what happened. Those are the red couches from the other house. So I don't even really want to know, but whatever.
Red and other various colors of things that were still on there.
Just do that in the shower like I do, man. Your conditioner is great, by the way. Yeah, it's the one room in the house with a floor drain. So anyways, so 20 years this semester that we had our spring break. And so another funny thing is, so a lot of people don't know... Do you want to talk about the checkpoint? What happened to coming back?
Oh yeah, we could tiptoe around that if you want. Sure.
So,
yeah.
So a lot of people don't know that because of NAFTA, they have checkpoints 60 miles inside the United States, and they also have the same kind of checkpoints in Mexico. And it's because the visas you need to go across on the border are not as stringent as the ones you need to go past the checkpoint. But nonetheless, if you're driving, if anybody's ever driven to the border, you'll cross a checkpoint and on the way back, coming up. So you guys were in a separate car. Were you in the car or were you with me?
So,
I think it was me and Clint.
So it was the three of you heading back to Dallas, and then there was the two of us that were heading to Houston for a couple of days, and then we were going to reconvene in Dallas to watch the hockey game before heading back up to Lubbock.
That's
so
right.
Two of us went to Houston, the three of you guys went back to Dallas, right?
Yeah, so hang on. So let's pan this trip out. So we drove from Lubbock, Texas, and we went down to McAllen. We stayed in McAllen because we stayed at my mom's house the first night.
Yes.
And we had dinner at my grandma's.
Had dinner at your grandma's? Yeah, yeah. I think I was after the...
No, because we had spaghetti. She gave us spaghetti to bring with us to the...
Oh, that's right. It was at the front end. Yeah.
It was the front end. So yeah. We had dinner at my grandma's, and then we went to... she gave us spaghetti to bring to the beach. Typical Italian. Big giant Ziploc bags full of spaghetti.
Ah, that's right. Yeah, that there was a spaghetti incident.
Yeah. So we spent one night in McAllen, then we drove to the beach. I think it was three nights at the beach, and then we drove back. I went to Dallas. You guys went to Houston for a couple of days.
Right.
And then in Dallas, we met up with our friends and had some parties, and then went to a hockey game, and then drove back to Lubbock.
That's right.
It was a big triangle. So we went from Lubbock to South Texas. up to Dallas and back over. It's like a big giant vagina.
Yeah, that's one way to look at it.
So anyways, so yeah, so when you guys were driving back to Houston, I think I planted the idea that they're going to be searching the cars. No, they had drug dogs. Yeah. They had drug sniffing dogs.
Yeah, so I'll never forget when I found out about the town Foul Furious, yeah, that it even existed.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's where the federal checkpoint's at.
No, it was north of that. It was north of Foul Furious. Oh, no, you're right. I'm sorry, I didn't know those results.
Yeah, it's right there.
You're absolutely right, Foul Furious.
Trust me, I was there.
So were you guys nervous when you saw the dogs?
Well, so we're coming back from, a few days of partying in South Padre Island.
Yeah.
So on top of all the beers that you mentioned, there might have been a few other party favors that
But not exactly a large quantity.
No. Because we couldn't afford a large quantity.
No, see, the thing
otherwise is, we would have had a large quantity.
So, like, those guys, I don't think they give a shit if you have, like, a nickel or a dime bag, like... They're looking for the fucking 18-wheelers full of that shit.
Yeah, but they look like they give a shit.
Yeah, they do.
And that could be intimidating.
They probably confiscate it and, like, smoke it themselves or watch you eat it.
Yeah.
They're going to make you guys smoke the whole bag.
So we're driving up and we see a sign that says, you know, federal checkpoint in 50 miles. Okay, yeah. All right. Keep driving. Federal checkpoint in 20 miles. Federal checkpoint in 5 miles. Kind of look at each other going, this is going to be interesting. Federal checkpoint starts here. Oh. And so now we're in line at the gates there to get through the checkpoint. And, you know, there's a few officers. Most cars are getting waved through, you know.
Yeah.
Every fourth one maybe gets stopped for a few minutes or a minute and then let through. And then, so it looks like it's going to be all well and good. And then all of a sudden, there's these German shepherds that just come... strolling out of the office there, coming alongside the cars, and we kind of look at each other like, oh man, German Shepherds, you've seen cops before, haven't you? Like yeah, you're not hiding anything from a German Shepherd.
No, just because it's out of sight doesn't mean you can't smell.
Yeah. Like, no, I've seen cops too many times, and no, I'm not hiding anything from a German Shepherd. And then it was like a mad scramble to pitch it out of the car.
Did you guys pitch it while you were waiting in line?
Yeah. Yeah.
Fucking idiots. Why would you do that? I thought you guys pitched it like 5 miles up the road down the road.
No, we were sitting in line when we pitched it.
Like in eyesight. So like when you pitched it would have been right by the car. Guys, did you guys drop this bag of oregano?
Look, next time we'll have planned it out better, but
You had warning signs every 10 miles.
I know, yeah. We probably should have heeded that warning sooner, but
you guys were sitting at 19, maybe 20?
We were, 19, 20.
19 or 20.
I think I was the oldest one.
Yeah,
I was 20.
You were probably 20 and then the rest of us were 19. That is fucking hilarious. Oh my God, I didn't realize you guys did it there. Now statute of limitations, that's fine. I wouldn't worry about it. You know what I forgot? We also went to Mexico while we were at the beach.
Yes, we did, yeah.
And like, you tell people now, and the thing is like, I probably didn't tell you. I probably wasn't that upfront with you guys, but the town we went to in Mexico, that was a dangerous town. Like even back in the 90s, that wasn't a good idea.
Yeah.
Because that was Matamoros.
No. We went to Reynosa.
No, we also went to Matamoros.
Did we?
From the beach.
If we did, I have very fuzzy memories of that. But you might be right.
I'm pretty sure we did because I think we ran into girls that we knew. Now, we went to Matamoros one of the nights that we were at the beach because it was only like a 20 or 30 minute drive.
Well, they're pretty close to each other. We could have ended up there and I might not have known. But I do know we did go to Reynosa. We did go to Reynosa. Your brother
took pictures. There's pictures of that surfaced around.
Yeah. Your brother took us there. Yeah, and those pictures just resurfaced here recently of us drinking green drinks.
Yeah, that was, yeah, Lori. Yeah, our friend Lori was with us. No, Eddie took us to Diamante.
That's right, yeah.
Oh, see, we went
you
to...
You think I forgot about that?
No, I just forgot that was on the... I forgot that was on the spring break trip. So, okay, so everybody knows in Mexico there's a boys' town. And boys' town is basically it's like the red light district. And I actually had never gone to boys' town until I was way older. We would always go to a strip club, and it was further away than boys' town. Also not a very safe neighborhood now. I wouldn't recommend anybody going, but it did end up closing down. But we would go to this strip club that my brother's drummer found out about and we used to go to all the time.
Drummers.
Drummers, fucking drummers. But it was a classy joint. I mean, like, they had security, you got frisked. There was that smell, that astringent smell of like industrial cleaner that they used on the floors and everything. So it was a nice, you know, very efficient fluorescent lighting. It was very, very good. It reminded me a lot of the Eastern Bloc.
It was a classy joint for sure.
I do remember that. And I remember it was, actually, I remember the place very fondly. I have plenty of friends I've taken to this place. And what's funny is, like...
You could do a whole show probably just on that, huh?
Yeah. Because, you know what's funny? Like, I remember the first time... Like, I don't go to strip clubs anymore because I just... They're kind of pointless. Like, we went to a bachelor party 2 years ago. And it was the last time we went to a bachelor party, right?
Yeah.
And at that bachelor party, we were kind of like, fuck, I guess we got to go to a strip club. Like, none of us really wanted to go. Because it was in Vegas, and it's kind of a hassle, and it's expensive. And we definitely didn't want to go to, like, the nice ones, like Spearmint Rhino or Sapphire. We said, fuck that.
Nice.
So we went to, in fact, it was a, how did we find out about this place?
Probably from some sleazy, a cab driver or something like that.
No, yeah, but what was the name of it again?
Cheetahs.
Cheetahs. We went to Cheetahs. And it was a very local place. I liked it quite a bit.
Yeah.
So for people that don't know, in Vegas...
It's a gem.
Oh, it is definitely a gem in the desert.
It's off the strip, though.
Yeah. So for people that don't know, when you go to Vegas, you don't ever want to take a cab to the strip clubs. What we learned on one of our other friends' bachelor parties is the cabs, they get what's called a spiff. Do you know about this?
Yeah, sort of.
Yeah, so they get... All right, so cab drivers get a spiff. Remember when we went to Brent's bachelor party? And this was like fucking tight. We went to Spearmint Rhino, and the cover was $30. Mm-hmm. And Dan and I think Brian wasn't there. Dan lived there, and he didn't have to pay any cover. And the cover is only if you show up in a cab.
Right.
And I didn't understand back then, like, well, that's the dumbest fucking thing ever. Like, you pay cover if you come in a cab, but if you drive yourself, like, I'm going to drink and drive. That's dumb. What it turns out is they have to do what's called a spiff. And when the cab driver drops, let's say he drops four people off, cab driver waits there, and the bouncer will come out and give the cab driver $25 to $30 a person that he brought to that club. It's a bribe.
Yeah.
And then if they don't do that, the cab drivers will just tell all the customers, oh, you don't want to go to Spearmint Rhino. That place is filthy.
Right. It's a racket.
It's a huge racket. Yeah, it's a big time fucking racket. So a lot of people don't know this, but the strip clubs will just send a limo to pick you up now. If you want to go to, and there's no cover. So time before this one, we went to Crazy Horse or whatever. And fuck yeah, there's no cover. We went to Spearmint Rhino one of the last times. And they send a limo, come pick us up, or a big bus. And so I remember our other buddy Kevin was like, so Lenny, how much is this costing us? I'm like, Kevin, it's free. He's like, what? I don't understand. How is this free? I was like, listen, because we would have to pay the cab drivers, and then they would have to pay the cab drivers, and the clubs need to make up the money. So there is that. And then also, the girls have to pay, I think it's like $300 a night to dance at the clubs. Did you know that?
I did know that, yeah.
Either that or they were lying to me when they were like begging for lap dances.
Well, that's, that may or may not be true, but that's a story I've been told many times.
Yeah, that and grad school or medical school is expensive.
Right.
There's a lot of pre-med.
And I'm working on my degree, yeah.
There's a lot of pre-med majors there. But no, yeah, so... So yeah, even the last bachelor party, I was like, fuck, we were at the pool all day, all sunburned, and we just felt like we kind of had to go to the strip club. So anyways, point of that...
I was in bad shape when I showed up to that place, and I left in worse shape.
Yeah, I know. I think our buddy Kevin had the most fun, but the rest of us is just brutal.
Yeah.
The thing is, like, you know, just fucking idiots. We were at the pool, right? All day long at the pool in Vegas in July.
Yeah, yeah.
And...
It's funny how you were drinking the whole time and never once had to go to the bathroom.
Yeah, we're perfectly well hydrated.
And then you have a bladder that's unbelievable.
My thought was, as long as my neck and below was under the water, I wasn't going to get sunburned because the water would filter the UV right the rays.
Yeah, that's great logic.
Yeah, it turned out to not be true because I had like a 3-day sunburn. But anyways, actually, you know what's funny? You and I flew together, and we were flying back, and I remember we were at the airport on the way back, and the AC was broken in that terminal or whatever.
Oh, yeah.
And they had that, it was like fucking 104-degree wind coming from the tarmac blowing in. It was just miserable.
Yeah, it was miserable.
I was in pain. I was hungover. I fucking hated it. Goddamn, Clint. But I do...
Flight back is always so bad.
It's the worst. And it's like, the longest flight, too.
Yeah, it's just like hangover and regret.
Yeah.
judging yourself.
Yeah. And then like realizing how much, and everybody wins. I always fucking lose money. I think I lost like maybe $500. I tried. Oh, but you know what though? Actually, it's interesting because you guys are the ones that talk. I know we're going off on a lot of tangents, but for those that go to Vegas, I tell this to people now too. Like, the Strip is a lot of fun and it's very nice and it's entertaining. But you guys, was it you or was it who suggested that we go downtown?
I'm not sure who suggested that.
But you'd been down before, right?
Yes, I had, and so I might have suggested it because Fremont Street is pretty fun. Yeah.
Fremont is absolutely a lot of fun. It was a blast. It's much more manageable than the Strip because there's no car. You can walk on the street.
Right.
So you can walk across the street and go. I mean, it was that part of it was a lot of fun. The casinos.
It's like a big street party.
Yeah,
know.
And the casinos. You walk were much around more drinking.
Yeah. Cheaper.
A lot cheaper, and they had single deck. That's right. Yeah. I never played single deck blackjack before.
That's my favorite blackjack.
You told me that. I didn't realize. Like, for those that don't know, you know, you go to Vegas, and yeah, fucking. If you go with somebody you don't know, they're gonna be like, "Oh, I want to go look at all the casinos. I want to go." Uh oh. Cut out. Check. Check. Check.
Testing.
Uh-oh. Hello? Hello? I'll have to edit that.
We'll take that out in post-production.
Yeah, in post. So, hello? Oh, shit. Okay. So people that don't know, it's cutting in and out, right?
It's sounding a little bit faint.
Check, check. All right, let's see. I don't know what happened. There's the fucking microphones. So for those who don't know... if you go to Vegas with somebody that's never been, they're like, "Oh, I want to go see all the casinos, and I want to go to Caesars, and I want to go see all the bullshit, right?" And you fucking, all right, we're gonna walk around all these casinos, and you know, let's play a round of blackjack. It's like, $25 minimum. That's nice.
Yeah.
You know, and you'll burn through $100 like in maybe 4 minutes, maybe if you're lucky.
It can happen.
Four hands, you can burn through four hands in. I would say 45 seconds. Like, it's fucking fast.
That'll disappear faster than you can imagine.
Right. And that's why I'm kind of a stick in the mud when it comes to gambling, because I hate that. But downtown, right, it's single deck. Not most tables, but they have tables that have single deck blackjack.
If you can find one, grab it.
Yeah, because the dealer's holding the deck in his hand. It's a slower deal, number one.
Slower deal.
It's a slower deal. He has to shuffle more frequently. Yep. Like, every two hands, he pretty much has to shuffle. On a full table...
He's probably shuffling between every hand.
Yeah. So there's breaks in between. The drinks are faster because the casinos are smaller.
Yeah.
And they're definitely happy that you're there.
It's a single deck is a much more leisurely game than the six deck shoe. The cards are being dealt slower. There's shuffling between. So if you're playing with friends and you're there to have a good time, you're not just focused on trying to win money. It's the way to go because there's a shuffle in between so you can talk to your friends. It's a little leisurely.
And we had the whole table too.
Yeah, exactly.
We took up the whole
table. Yeah, you get the whole table and then you're really having a good time.
Oh, yeah.
And the action with blackjack anyway is back and forth. And so you're not really going to – you may not win real big, but you're not going to lose real big either if you're just, you know, making minimum bets.
With everybody at the table, even when you're out, you're still bullshitting and having fun.
Right.
You know, it's a good time. It really is a good time. So yeah, there was that bit of information. What else was? Where the fuck was I going to go with all this now?
I don't know. But while we're talking about Vegas, if you want to talk about the Palomino at all, that might make for a good topic.
You know.
Now we're talking about Lenny's bachelor party.
Yeah, the Palomino. Again, was that recommended by the limo driver? Yeah, because he didn't want to bring us there, right?
Yeah, because it's a fart drive.
Well, that and they probably didn't pay the spiffs.
Probably not.
Yeah, they probably didn't pay the stiffs. I remember the Palomino. That was terrible. How did we find out about that?
I don't know where the Palomino idea came from, but we ended up there.
Yeah.
And you got abused.
You know, I remember that happened. It was one of those things where they bring and the lucky bachelor is going to come on up to the stage. And they do that. And I remember... They took my belt off and they spanked me with my belt.
I didn't realize you were into S&M like that.
Yeah. Oh, let me tell you. And then they said what did they do? I had to climb up a stripper pole to ring a bell.
Yeah.
And then I don't know what it was. Oh no. Yeah.
But your pole work is very shabby at best.
It needs a lot of work. Yeah. No, it was in order to prevent from getting spanked. I had to climb up the pole and ring a bell. And I was like, I'm fucking, are you shitting me? And back then I was fucking, I was 80 pounds heavier than I am now. Like, that ain't going to fucking happen. Yeah. I can do it now.
By the way, you're looking good, man.
Yeah, thank you.
What are you, on the Whole 30 diet or something?
So I stopped the Whole 30 and now I'm doing the prom diet.
Wow.
So just two fingers down the throat after dinner pretty much does the trick.
Well, I'll tell you, you're looking like a Greek god over here. You're looking like back in your college days and you're playing weight.
Yeah. I'm sweating. Actually, you know what? Not to toot my own horn. I haven't weighed, I weighed more than this in my freshman year in college. So I'm down to like below junior year in high school.
Wow.
Yeah. Don't ask how.
Impressive.
It is impressive.
Because I'm sitting across from you and you're drinking a beer right now. So I don't know. I don't know what diet that is where you can just like guzzle bohemias.
Bohemian style beer. Well, it's an honor of...
but I'm interested.
Yeah. No, it was Whole 30 for a little while. We did that. We did that for 2 months. That was okay. It was. It's pretty sustainable for the most part. But it's not very logical because it's like... cool it on the, you know, oatmeal, no brown rice, no beans, but you can have bacon fat and lard.
Like right, lick the pan?
Yeah.
Perfect.
Like saturated fats, no problem. And I was like, so what do you cook your eggs in? Lard. Like, that doesn't sound healthy at all. So
I don't understand how all these diets work. But
nah, so you know what it was? Is I stopped drinking for a month and I dropped like 5 pounds right there.
Well,
if you're willing to give that up.
Looks like you started again, though.
Well, you were coming over, and I was going to originally brew a nice pot of coffee, because I got you these nice what do you think of the coffee mugs?
Oh, they're really nice. Nice life-splaining.
Don't say the logo, because there's a copyright infringement on the logo.
way to rip that off.
Yeah, just say life-splaining.
It's a nice mug that says life-splaining. I guess all the guests get a nice parting gift.
Yeah.
Which, by the way, I hate to bring this up right now, but are we going to talk about my appearance fee for today in addition to this coffee mug, or is this all I'm getting?
Yeah, by appearance fee, you mean you know the beer?
Because the guy that books the show told me there was going to be an appearance fee for coming on.
No, I don't. I waive the fee. It's like the strip clubs. You got to pay me.
All right. Well, we'll talk about that after the show.
We got off on a tangent here. So we're talking about strip clubs. So Diamante. So yeah, so like I don't really go to strip clubs anymore. It's not exactly fun. And the only time I ever go now, I don't know about you. Maybe you go for work and stuff. I used to go back in the day. I used to go. Suppliers would take me out to strip clubs. Like we go to dinner, we go to strip clubs.
I go when I'm invited to go. It's never my idea to go, but if someone invites me to go to the strip club, I will accompany them.
But it's like usually an occasion. It's not like, dude, I'm bored. Let's go see some tits.
No, it's almost always an occasion. Yeah.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. It's not. You know what? Maybe strip clubs are going to go the way of Toys R Us, and maybe they're going to go out of business. Maybe Amazon will start doing titty bars.
You think sex is going to go out of business anytime soon?
No. No. They're gonna do just fine.
I have a feeling that that's gonna be around for a while.
Yeah, it's the oldest profession. So it is. So anyways, the strip club in Mexico, it was the funny thing is, like when you're a teenager, like you can't wait to like see boobs. Like that's the most exciting thing. Like that your whole life is based around. Like, did I just see a nipple? Was that a nipple? What was that? It was looking at boobs. Like that, at least for me, because I was a deviant pervert.
Yeah, and that might actually spill into your early 20s to early 40s.
Right. I mean, but eventually it'll go away. That's what the doctor says anyways.
I hope so.
He says the condition lightens a little bit. So like, you're just infatuated with boobs. So I remember like my brother took me to a strip club in McAllen. And I was 16 years old. And this is back in the day when you could buy scanners, like the old document scanners. And we scanned a temporary license and changed the dates. And
got it laminated?
No, because you didn't have to get it laminated. Now my wife, she's on a grand jury, jury duty. So she's doing grand jury. So unfortunately, it's like now I live with a fucking lawyer. And she's like, that's a felony and da-da-da-da-da. And so... That this might be clipped out of the podcast.
Is she doing this for like an extended period of time?
6 months. Grand juries are 6 months in Fort Bend.
What does that pay?
Like $50 a day. Or if that. I don't remember.
That's horrible.
It's terrible. It's every Monday for 6 months.
Wow.
And it's almost over, but she's in the middle of this grand
tour. Come away with some good stories, I'm sure, though.
She can't share any stories except remind me that, like, okay, any amount of marijuana vape mm-hmm. is a felony. Any amount.
Really?
Yeah. Edibles, she goes, don't you get anywhere near a fucking edible, because an edible, the weight of the full edible is what counts. So you can have a 4 ounce brownie bar that might have a couple of shavings of marijuana, but that's 4 ounces of weed.
Hmm.
They don't have a way to distinguish that. So edibles are real fucking dangerous. So you want to stay away. I'm just giving you some advice, Bob.
No, I appreciate that. Yeah.
Let me just write this down.
I may have to leave a bag of things at your house when I drive out of here later.
Oh, it's like good. It's like the old days. Yeah. Yeah, so now Amy reminds me all the time. Like, well, that's a
I mean, who's making these rules? Foul Furious?
So what the fuck was I going with this? God damn it. This is another problem I have with brain farts. What were we just talking about?
You're talking about edibles.
Grand jury.
No,
it was before that. Oh, so I scanned a license. We're still talking about titties.
Oh, right, yeah. It always comes back to this.
So, so I remember we got into the strip club. I was underage, and I'm just, like, mesmerized. I'm seeing all these adults with their tops off, walking around. Most of them had fake boobs, and I was just, like, in awe. I was just awestruck. And my brother, his guitar player, I think his drummer, and another friend. And I'm just, like, I'm not going to say who the other friend was, because he would get in trouble. So, even after this many years. I remember vividly, like, oh my God, this is such a cool thing, but these girls all look dirty. I bet they're all disease-ridden. And I don't know why. It's like, they're beautiful and amazing and attractive, but I'm sure they're, like, diseased and, like, you don't want to touch anything. So there was, like, this evolution when you go in. You're like, oh my God, this is great, but just don't touch anything. Like, don't touch the table. It's probably sticky. Anyways, and then, like, I drank a little bit, had a couple beers, and then all of a sudden, I'm like, man, it's not too bad. It's all right. That's pretty good. And then all of a sudden, the girls come in, and I remember my brother got me two girls at once, a lap dance with two girls at once.
Nice.
And I still to this day, the sight of four boobs being smushed in my face, I'll never forget. It was pretty amazing. So
to a 16-year-old?
To a 16-year-old.
Yeah.
It was pretty, pretty amazing.
Yeah. You don't soon forget that.
No, obviously not. That was 20 years ago.
Yeah. Wow.
Or 25 years ago, but whatever. Sorry, 23. So anyways, so in Mexico, I remember the first time my brother took me to Diamante. And I think it was the same thing with you guys. You walk in and everybody's like, oh my God, we're in Mexico and right on the border. And this has got to be dangerous and it's kind of dirty. And then I remember, because this is what went on in my head. I'm like, all right, I sit at the table. Like, the table's kind of sticky. I'm like, all right. And they bring you a beer. And you're like, oh, these girls are, they're all dirty. Oh, this girl's dirty. The girls are dirty. And I start drinking beer. And I, after like two or three beers, like, they're all gross except for that one. That one's special. The rest of them are gross. I don't want to have anything to do with the rest of them. So I'll just look at the one that I like. And I'm just there. And then, like, more beers would happen. And, like, I was literally going through, like, the evolution of, like, my inhibition kicking in. And by the end of the night, I'm like, I would marry all of these girls. Every single... And I was dipping my hand in the bowl of peanut. I was like, oh, don't touch the peanuts. It's probably got broken glass in there. Like, everything... Every fear they put glass dust in the peanuts so that they can take your organs.
Yeah. Yeah, you're ordering food at that point. Community nachos. Yeah, get some nachos for the table.
So, extra sauce. Yeah. So it's amazing. And everybody I bring... Everybody that I've been to that strip club, it was the same thing. Like, man, Lenny, are you sure this is safe? The guy's frisking us and they have automatic weapons. I'm like, yeah, that's because it's owned by the cartel.
Yeah, yeah.
They're making sure we're not members of the right. Nobody's wearing a blue bandana, right?
That's how you feel safe in Mexico. When there's guys guarding the door with machine guns.
Yeah. There's like a row of Molotov cocktails that haven't been lit yet just in case.
Yeah.
Think it's hairy.
Yeah, you're okay. You have American dollars. You'll be fine.
Yeah. What do they want? Yeah. Like, it's not like you even speak Spanish. What do they care? But everybody I bring to that strip club, they would always go through that same chain of events. And it's like, oh my God, it's disgusting. It's this. Oh, but Lenny, what's her name? Which one was that one over there? The blonde. What's her name?
Yeah.
And then I also went with the ticket system. You used to have to buy tickets. because you couldn't give the girls like the $10 for a lap dance right off the bat. We're spending a lot of time talking about a strip club. Let me see here.
Yeah,
we spent 40 minutes talking about a strip
club. How are we doing on time here, Lay? Are we doing okay?
Yeah, we're doing
you think we've talked about strip clubs enough, maybe?
We'll come back to that. So, all right, so this is all started.
Is this a family show?
Yeah. My brother listens.
Okay. Qualifies.
I don't think he listens because he didn't bitch about the story I told about the last podcast. So, anyways, so we talked about South Padre Island. What else? That was our first trip. Or one of our first trips. No, because we've gone to Dallas before, too. Fuck, man.
No, we've done a lot of hanging out, but I think that was like the crown jewel of all the trips that we took, for sure.
It was...
And, you know, I would just say that, you know, anybody who's in college right now, they owe themselves to do an epic spring break like that, because, I mean, we're still talking about it 20 years later, and it's just like the gift that keeps on giving, you know.
It was not expensive.
No, it wasn't too bad overall. Of course, I could barely afford it at the time. But
you know,
I think I had to pay your mom in pesos for the for my share of the rent on that condo.
Whatever it was, like a couple of leftover tickets from Diamante.
Yeah, that's exactly what it was.
Here, give these to Eddie. He can cash those in.
I was like, okay, so here's $115 and here's 35-ish in pesos. I hope that gets me there.
Oh, shit. You know, so one of the things we talked about, and I don't know, shit, because we talked before and we didn't, I don't remember when we started. So, because we did a lot of sporting events.
Yeah.
It seems like most of our trips revolve around going to games. Like, and the thing that's unique is that you and your girlfriend are both sports fans.
We are.
And that's a unique situation. Do you think that that's always good, or is there, like, time when that's not a very good idea?
I think for the most part it's good because, you know, if I come home and I want to flip on the game, chances are it's already flipped on. I don't have to, like, wrestle the remote away to try and get the game on. Teams, we align for the most part, except for when it comes to college football.
But you're not – so Dez is a UT fan and Texas Tech fan. So she is herself a house divided.
Yeah.
But you don't really – I don't have much heartache against UT unless we're playing them.
For the most part, not really.
Right?
I used to have more, and now I kind of...
More animosity? Yeah. Right now, I don't give a shit anymore.
Yeah, yeah.
It seemed like once A&M left the Big 12, I'm like, oh, well, now that it's classier.
now that the IQ of both the conferences went up as a result.
Yeah. So it's not that... Yeah, so I don't know. It's for some reason nowadays, I still dislike A&M with a passion, but I'm kind of indifferent to UT. Like... Maybe it's because it does. Maybe that's why.
It's the vitriol's worn off a little bit since we were students, right? It used to be this like triangle of hate between the three.
It was, man.
And then you take one piece of that out, and now it's kind of like a little bit lackluster, I think.
Yeah, maybe that's why. It was that triangle of hate. We took out the tripod of hate. Yeah.
Yeah.
And now I'm like, yeah, okay, whatever. Like, I don't like them that much, but I mean, it's better than A&M.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
So, anyways, so when you have those games, does she vote? Like, if it's a Tech UT game, does she vote for UT or does she vote for Tech? So, for the record, your girlfriend went to undergraduate school at Texas Tech and then got her graduate degree from UT, right?
That's right. Yeah.
Yeah. So she's got a degree from both. When the schools play each other, who does she typically go for?
When they're playing each other, UT, but. Aside from that, she will go for Tech in all other circumstances.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, UT's a lot. So, for a lot of people don't give a shit about college football that are listening to this podcast. But, you know, UT is the big power. Now, I wouldn't say powerhouse, but they're the bigger school in the state of Texas. They have the most enrollment. I mean, the school's massive. And they have, like,
the all
aftermarket.
All the money.
Yeah. All of the merchandise and all of that kind of, all of that is pretty much UT. A&M has a humongous contribution from their alumni because they're the only ones that give a shit about that school. But, like, UT has fans that didn't even go to that school. Like, that's the thing.
Yeah.
Like, there's a handful of people.
They're very corporate like that.
It is. Very much. It's like the Dallas Cowboys of fucking college football.
Yep.
And it's weird. I had friends that I went to high school with that never even came close to Austin that are UT fans. And I didn't understand it. I'm like... motherfuckers, you went to a school that has a football team, go for that team.
Yeah. It's the flagship school of the state, so they get all the, you know, casuals and bandwagoners.
Yeah. And A&M, you know, there's like five people I know that never went to school there there's one person I know that never went to school there that liked it. Everybody else I know was an alumni. Nobody likes A&M as just a fan. Nobody that I know. Either you went there or like you had to pay for your kid's tuition there, so you might as well fucking get a hat out of it. So
yeah, more likely the case.
Yeah, right. Anyways, so you know these college rivalries, it's a lot of fun. But the thing that I liked about a lot of our visit or a lot of our trips going, because that's the thing, you know, when we fucking talked about all this shit before the podcast. I don't remember what we started and what we didn't. But, you know, we talked about on the last podcast how it's different now to have cell phones than it is and make these commitments. So now we make all we talk about this podcast. But yeah. Like we'd go to these games and remember we would lose like Marcelo. We would lose Marcelo.
Yeah.
Right? Like,
yeah.
Like we'd be at the bar.
You'd lose him the whole game and,
yeah,
and not know where he's at.
Fucking gone. Like, where's Marcelo? I don't know. People would just disappear. And shit like that just happened.
And when they showed back up, it was a nice surprise. See, now it's like, yeah, everyone's texting them. Where is he at? Oh, I'm right here.
Yeah. Oh, I'm getting nachos. Like, oh, tell him to bring back a hot dog or something. Yeah.
Takes all the element of surprise.
it sure does. So
technology. It's amazing though, isn't it? I think Louis C.K. said it best when he said, you know, I teach my daughter to spell on the same machine I used to masturbate. That really drove it home for me. I was like, wow, we are living in a crazy technology world, aren't we?
Yeah. Well, yeah, I guess the extension of that joke would be the same machine he uses to masturbate while he makes other female comedians watch him.
Yeah.
Oh, God anyway. Damn it. Me too got him too. Him too?
Man, they're taking everyone down. Morgan Freeman.
Yeah, we got Morgan Freeman. That's amazing.
Who's next?
So the thing,
they're not going to stop.
I remember I was telling Amy, I was trying to normalize a little bit and then like, and not, I wasn't trying to justify it, but I was like, yeah, but I mean, you know, could it really been that bad? And she just started giving me this fucking 40-yard stare, like, are you fucking kidding me? Are you serious right now? And I'm like, it's not like he Bill Cosby'd him, right? And she's like, well, no, there's definitely a range, and none of it is okay. I'm like, well, okay, I agree. Actually, the thing that Amy hates is if I say, I don't disagree with you. She hates that shit. Mm. Because she wants confirmation that she's won the argument.
Yeah.
But if I say, I don't disagree, I haven't fully committed to that. Like, yeah, you're right, babe. Like, you're right.
Yeah. So, it's not a full acknowledgement. It's
not a full acknowledgement. Yeah. Oh, she fucking irks her. It irks her. So I do it all the time now. See, that's what marriage is.
Yeah.
You and Des don't do that.
Well, we have different kinds of arguments. Disagreements, I'll say.
What could you guys disagree? What are your disagreements?
Oh, come on. It's a whole litany of stuff, right? It could be anything. Anytime you live with someone. It's not always coming back to the same theme.
Yeah, I guess so. I was just thinking about that. I've never seen you guys argue.
That's a lie.
No, I don't think I've ever seen you guys argue.
You haven't hung out with us enough.
You guys are both pretty passive. Dez is loud, but you guys are both pretty passive.
I mean, I think we make an effort to be harmonious for the most part. At least I do.
Oh, you know what, man? So so you guys took a trip to Japan. Is one trip or two trips?
No, we actually took two.
Yeah, yeah. Man. So, I do want to know about that. So tell me about the steakhouse.
Oh, yeah, where we went and had Kobe beef.
Yeah.
In Kobe, Japan.
Yeah, tell me what that was like.
That was great. It was probably the best cut of steak I've ever had. And
how much steak did you eat? Not a lot, right?
It wasn't like a, you
a
know,
big New York,
it wasn't like a 32 Texas ounce steak or anything.
Yeah,
like that.
No, right outdoors with John Candy.
No, it was more like a 6 ounce steak, but it was just cooked so perfectly.
And how was, what did it look like? Was it red or was it like pink because it was all fatty?
I mean, it was just, it's like seared. It was all fatty and marbled. Yeah.
That's amazing.
Yeah. No, it's
how much did that dinner set you back?
Oh, it wasn't all that bad. I think for the two of us, it was close to $300. But
with wine or no wine?
With sake.
With sake?
Yeah.
With sake is not that expensive, is it?
Not too bad.
It's not like it was not like a $200 bottle of wine.
No.
Like the steaks were probably 100 each.
Yeah. That's more like that. Yeah. No,
that's not bad.
No. To get that kind of quality. And the cool part is we watched the guy cook it right in front of us, you know. So watch the master chef work with the knives.
You explained
it's a whole experience. It's cool.
The way they carve it, cut it, and certain pieces you eat a certain way, and certain pieces you mix with like some of the cabbage or the bean sprouts, right?
Yeah. He'll cook a little bit at a time, put it on your plate, and so every bite you're taking, it's still hot, right?
Yeah.
He'll say, have a little bit of this with this sauce, now try this bite with this sauce, and so you get this whole like instructional experience. It's neat.
You'd be like, look, motherfucker, I can eat a steak just fine. Give me a fork and knife.
Now that would be disrespectful.
So did you get some good sushi?
Of course, yeah.
Did you go to Euro's?
No, we didn't go there.
That's expensive.
But that's the thing. You don't have to go to a place like that. You can find really good quality sushi almost anywhere.
It's kind of nostalgic, though.
Yeah, I mean, if
that's
you're
the only reason
going
why
for that experience.
That's really the only reason why, just for the nostalgia of going to that one place.
Right.
Yeah, that's pretty boring shit to talk about. But anyways, so back to strip clubs. You know, I remember I went to one here in town called Treasures. And it's a pretty, pretty raunchy place. We went around 1 in the afternoon, and it was for a bachelor party.
It's a good time to go, actually.
We did a brewery tour, loosely, did a brewery tour in the morning, and I got shit-faced. I was smashed. And then we ended up at the strip club, and I don't know why I thought it was okay to take pictures in there. But I whooped out my cell phone.
Yeah, they tend to frown on that.
Yeah, and I'm taking pictures of my friends getting lit, flashes going off, and like the bounces were on me like immediately. They were cool because I was a paying customer in there at 1 in the afternoon, but like, they're like, all right, we're going to have to watch you just delete those photos, sir. I'm like, oh, you're right. You're right. I didn't think that one through.
Yeah, so, they're going to get you on that.
All right, so
you have to do it without the flash. That's how I do it.
So I did manage to get, should we do the Q&A, some of the questions?
Mailbag?
Yeah, mailbag.
Okay, go to mailbag.
So, guys, I actually did get some email questions over the break. So, by the way, Bob, we've been on a 2-month hiatus since the last episode.
Because you don't have that many friends?
I quickly realized I don't have enough friends to sustain this shit, and I'm not funny enough on my own or at all.
I turned you down a couple of times. I was like, nah, you can get someone else to do this, but I'm here now.
Yeah, well, it's fun. It's a good thing. It's a good time. Okay, so...
hold on. Before you go into this mailbag here, I just want to say something that's probably for your own benefit. Are your listeners aware that you're not a licensed therapist of any kind?
Oh, the disclaimer?
Yeah.
I think I did that on the introduction. I didn't put a legal disclaimer.
No. I just...
So, no...
If you haven't, I just want to make sure that I put that out there, that this guy is not a licensed therapist.
No, I'm not a licensed therapist in any way whatsoever, but it's good advice.
Yeah, so... You know, you take his advice at your own risk. It's just it's good that people know how full of shit you are.
I don't think anybody is guessing or anybody's not. I think they're all pretty much aware.
Okay, all right. Yeah. Well, you know, now that we've got that established, okay, so, let's go to the mailbag.
All right, so we'll do Candace and Janice. Maybe we'll get to Julie.
Candace and Janice.
Yeah.
This sounds fake already.
No. Well, the names might be fake. So, all right, this girl named Candace goes... my boyfriend and I, after a few months of dating, have started becoming more intimate in the bedroom. Things always start out great with foreplay. I don't know what that is. I'm already lost. He has a hard...
Next.
Next. Boop. No, shit. So he says he has a hard time performing, in quotations. She goes, is it cool to bring up... Viagra or other drugs that might help his situation? And then she goes on to say, I feel I am very attractive and have never dated anyone that has had this problem before.
Well, listen, I'm never going to be the one to say don't use drugs. If you've got, smoke them if you got them. If you've got them.
So how does she bring it up to her boyfriend?
Well, she could kind of just drop one in his drink, you know, Bill Cosby
so,
style.
Yeah, okay, so just slip it in.
Yeah.
And then say, like, wow, you're doing really good tonight. I wonder what's different.
Yeah, that's good for the ego.
That is.
He won't even know that it's, you know,
that's the best advice there is. Actually, just spike his drink.
Yeah.
The old reverse Spanish fly.
Absolutely.
Yeah. What goes around comes around. All right.
And then you could also sprinkle a little cocaine on it. That'll help.
Yeah. I hear that makes it work faster. Yeah. It helps the absorption in the blood.
Okay. So there you have it.
Very good. All right. Well done. Put that one in the bag. All right. So Janice, she goes, I'm currently seeing a guy and he's amazing. We text all day long every day and we get along fantastically. We usually go out once a week, typically on Fridays. He is young and handsome, and I know we're connecting, but I have a suspicious feeling he might be seeing other girls.
What?
Wow. Yeah. He might even be married. Without hiring a creepy PI, I guess private investigator, what's the best way to find out for sure? What clues should I be looking for?
Well, I'd say probably...
Well, hang on. So have you ever met anybody that was married that was dating a girl? Or anybody that actively dated two girls at the same time?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
That they didn't know? The girls didn't know?
Yeah.
How, did they ever confront each other? Because I got a great story about that.
I'm sure you do.
Yeah. It has to do with the Puerto Rican. But you go.
Okay. Well, just to answer the question, I think it's best summed up in this poem I once heard. Roses are red, violets are blue. If he's busy on Valentine's Day, the side piece is you.
So as long as you're not the side piece, you're okay.
Right.
Okay, all right. Well, then, yeah, then let it be. All right, so Janice, just let it be, is I guess what we're saying. But all right, I'll tell my story first. So I had a friend, and I think I mentioned this on one of the other podcasts. So I had a friend who was dating one girl seriously. And he finished dating her seriously, and he moved on to a new girl that he started dating seriously. And the problem is, he didn't stop dating the other one altogether. He kept seeing her, but it wasn't serious, is the way he explained it to me. The new one was serious. And by that I mean, he would have her come over to watch Lost. And maybe a couple of other TV shows, and you know, you'd brag about it. This is like,
wow, what a romantic guy!
Oh yeah, he would post stuff about it, like back on MySpace, you know, his MySpace. the other girl suspected it. So Janice, so while Bob's idea is, as long as you're seeing him on Valentine's Day, you're not the side piece, and then that's probably the best that you're gonna get. One thing that you can do is if he lets you go to his, if you're seeing him in his house, there should be plenty of signs if he's seeing somebody else. What I would do is I would plant a pair of your underwear under his mattress without him knowing, obviously, but plant, like, not just lipstick or an earring in sight, because that's typical. No, like, go ahead and stash some underwear, like, under the mattress, and then stalk him. And, you know, if he sees you on Fridays and you don't see him on Saturday, just hang out at his apartment on Saturday, get yourself some sandwiches, some bottled water, not too much because you have to pee, some nuts, something salty, and then just hang out in somewhere where he can't see you, but outside of his house or his apartment. And then if you see him go in there with another girl, you can go ahead and confront them after he's gone in and started watching Lost. And then if he denies it, then you could tell the other girl, oh yeah, and walk into his bedroom and pull out a pair of your dirty underwear. So you could do both of those things.
It sounds like you put some thought into this.
Yeah. Well, I have friends that have had problems like this in the past.
I seem to remember the last episode you were talking about stalking in some form.
Oh yeah, that was dating Amy. That was different. that was digital stalking. Completely different. She forgot to lock down her privacy settings.
Match.com stories.
Yeah. All right. Okay. So Julie's got this question. This is not sex related. She goes, she lives here in Houston. She's originally from New York. Her boyfriend's boss invited them to the company's box at the Astros-Yankee game in the playoffs. It was last year.
Oh, right. Yeah. I remember that series.
She's a diehard Yankee fan.
Mm-mm-mm.
Yep. And, she said she even wore her Derek Jeter jersey and Yankee cap. And it was like a corporate box.
Right.
And apparently that upset a lot of the others in the box, as well as the owner of the company. Oh, yeah, because they could see it on national TV.
Right, yeah.
So,
yeah.
Boyfriend got all pissed at her for days. Yeah, yeah. Oh, they got thrown out. Heated arguments.
They got thrown out of the box?
They got thrown out of the box.
Wow.
Oh, because she got an argument with the other people in the box, and heated arguments ensued, and we were actually thrown out. She goes, my boyfriend has been pissed at me for days. Does he have a right to be?
Well, yeah, you got to keep it civil at a corporate event, right? You can't...
So now you're going to like... But what about... Oh, yeah, I guess, you know what? She wasn't clear. Is he mad because they got kicked out, or was he mad because she wore the Yankee paraphernalia? First question, can you do that? Can you wear... If you're invited to a corporate box, is it cool to wear paraphernalia from the opposing team?
It's certainly not cool if you're a Yankees fan.
No.
Not at all.
Oh, wait. You mean like if you're at a Yankee game wearing another team's in their boxes?
No, I'm just saying Yankees fans in general, no. You can't go representing like that at the Astros.
No.
Come on now.
Okay.
Nah.
All right.
I'd say at a corporate event like that, you probably should be a little bit mindful, especially if it's a big playoff game. It's a company box.
Yeah.
Playoff game. You might want to tone it down. You can kind of like quietly cheer for your team, but you know, not.
But not wearing the Derek Jeter jersey and the Yankee cap.
Yeah.
In a box full of Astros jerseys.
Yeah, not prayer out. Because if it's your boyfriend's company, you want to represent him the best way possible there. Mm. And if that means, you know, shelving the Jeter jersey for an evening, best thing to do.
Doesn't mean that she's got to wear an Astros hat or jersey.
No.
She can wear navy blue. Both teams have navy blue.
Right. Yeah. You can go with something kind of neutral. But yeah. I would say from a healthy relationship standpoint, you always want to do your best to represent your significant other the best way you possibly can. Mm. I always kind of have that policy for myself, and I think that other people should, you know, take that into account when they're out in public.
That's a good idea. All right, so that's good. Okay. All right, and then the last one is this from this guy named Tom. So he went on a date with this girl he met online. To my surprise, she was exactly as cute as her pictures led me to believe. I let her pick the restaurant, which we ended up being a pretty swanky sushi place. Much nicer than I would have wanted or would I have gone to unless I was 90% confident only to get some action. That sounds one of my fans.
The kind of people
Tom
that
might
listen
be somebody
to you.
I know. okay, so now he goes, now I'm not superficial, but this woman was hot and lean, like really in shape. So I thought to myself, oh, perfect. She probably only eats a few bites of sushi and then says, oh my God, I'm stuffed. Well, it turns out this chick ate like a horse. and she had some expensive taste too. She even ordered a bottle of wine, dessert, and just about every side dish and appetizer. Fuck. All right. Wow. She even ordered in shifts. Like she ordered, we had a meal, and then she said, I'd like to see the menu again, and ordered more.
Wow.
Do you ever do that at sushi, though? Is it kosher?
Sushi's a little different. Yeah, sometimes
you order one roll, have a drink, have some beer, some sake, and maybe you get another roll, right?
Yeah, yeah, exactly. It comes in waves like that, right?
Yeah, I think so, too. So, Tom, you might be being a
it's a different kind of dining experience.
It is. It's not like I'm going to sit down and order a steak, mashed potatoes, and a salad.
Right.
It's maybe this kind of an appetizer, maybe something fried,
right.
Some drinks, talk. Still
yeah.
hungry.
It's supposed to be kind of smaller portions of a variety of things,
yeah.
right?
Yeah, I think so. Fuck. Okay, so you said, when the bill came, it was almost $500. I nearly died when I saw it. Right there in that situation, would it have been okay to ask her to split the check?
Hmm.
So
why don't you start?
All right, so I'm kind of a pussy. No, I'm not a pussy. Whenever I was on dates, I never split the check, and that might be kind of chauvinist nowadays. See, I don't know if it's empowering to let women split the check, because it's 2018.
Yeah.
Like, I didn't really date, like, you know, I haven't gone on serious dates since, like, when I met my wife, which was 7-8 years ago. So, like, and even then, I was pretty insistent about picking up the checks. But I was respectful. I would, you know, mostly say something like, oh, no, I make more money than you, so let me pick up the check. Like, something, like, nice, like that.
Yeah, of course.
So let them know I'm genuine.
Yeah.
And generous, too. Or generous.
Yeah.
You know, so.
Yeah. Let her know that your status is slightly above hers in society. Well, and that
this way, it sets the tone.
Of course. Of course.
It's optics. It's all optics.
You're just being nice.
Yeah. So, you know. Anyways, but nowadays, I don't know. Is it kosher? You don't know either. You haven't fucking dated in 25 years.
That's right. I'm very thankful for that. These are the kinds of situations that I know I'll never have to be in.
Yeah.
And I'm thankful for that.
Because now you are, you know what? Actually, you are splitting the check now. You're both employed.
That's right. Yeah, we are splitting the check.
Pretty much splitting it. Yeah, my wife and I, every check we split. So.
Yeah. Well, so that's different. But I mean, if you were the one that asked her out, I guess you're kind of on the hook for that.
In one sense,
I would say, but.
Well, so he said it was an online date. I'm not sure who asked who out.
Okay.
Maybe they both swiped right. I'm not sure. I don't know how that works.
Okay. Yeah. So there's a little bit of nebulous gray area here.
Yeah. But for the most part, first date, and if he's expecting to get any kind of action,
yeah,
you got to pick up the check, right?
I would say so. Yeah.
I don't know how it would be really, really, really hard on a first date to not pick up the check and then still expect, like, at the end of the night, like, so you want to come upstairs to my place?
Right.
She's like, no, or two of my credit cards got declined.
And you are the man if you can pull that off.
No shit, right? That's a good, yeah. So, yeah, Tom, sorry, bud.
yeah.
This is like a big chain of events that was just, like, every card was played against him. Like asked the girl to go out to eat. You know, she didn't look like she, but you know, that misconception. Guys think women don't eat much, and for the most part, women don't eat on dates, especially first dates. They'll eat like a couple bites. So it was right for him to assume that she wouldn't eat that much, but he kind of had the raw deal there. She ordered everything and a bottle of wine.
Yeah, I don't know. Us guys are trying to keep chivalry alive, but women are killing it, aren't they? They're just killing it. It's their own fault.
Pretty much. All right, so that's, man, so we've been bullshitting for 1 hour and 7 minutes.
So, wow. Okay. Yeah. So if you could just cut me a check, then I'll be out of here.
What do you think? Did you have fun?
Sure. Nah, of course. It's always good to sit down and talk to an old friend.
So does your girlfriend know that you were here?
Yes, of course. Hey, the day I have to start sneaking out of the house to go see you, that's when things are done. There's a lot of other people I can sneak out and lie about for, but not to go see you.
Yeah, one of the last times our other friend came in town, he wanted to stay at his cousin's house, and his cousin's wife said no. Remember that?
Oh, yeah.
He had to stay here.
I do remember that.
Hey, man.
Wait, did he stay with me that night?
No, that was the last time.
Oh,
the first time he stayed here. Because he brought his wife and his daughter with him.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, yeah.
This last time was just him.
Yeah. And let's just say hello to that guy since he's probably going to be listening.
Yeah, begrudgingly.
What's up, dude?
Yeah, anyways. All right, well, this was fun. I know I didn't get to... Did I get to everything I wanted to ask you? I think I did.
Yeah, no, we checked all the boxes.
We checked all the boxes, right?
Yeah, let's go ahead and shut this down. Go ahead and cue up that silly whistling music.
You like it? It's good stuff, isn't it?
Yeah, where did you find that trash at?
I had to actually buy the rights to it.
Did you?
Yeah, and the thing
you are a sucker.
No, because like I was thinking to myself, like, no, I was going to fuck it. The first one I did, I had Queen, Crazy Little Thing Called Love as the opener.
Okay.
And then I had the Talking Heads as a closer. What was the song? Fucking that cool Talking Heads one about. You know what I'm talking about?
I do, but I don't know what it's called.
Fuck.
Anyway. All I'm saying is, so like, I can sit songs here and whistle in this microphone, well, so I don't know what you spent on this.
So I had those on there, and another friend of mine does a podcast that's Online Genius, My Online Genius. And I actually, his name is Bobby Clink, and I actually listened to a couple of them. And or he's got a website and I've seen some of his videos, and he very clearly explained copyright infringement and dumbed it down to where even I could understand. And basically, if I used any piece, because my thought was like, oh, well, I'll use the song, but I just won't. Once in a lifetime.
Oh, okay. Next. Yeah.
I'll just use a clip of it, and being that I'm not making money, like, then I'm fine, no problem.
Yeah.
And like, he's like, there's three common misconceptions when it comes to copyright, and like all three of them, those were my thoughts too. So, can't use any piece of a song without buying the rights. And unlike playing in a band and playing a show and maybe making a CD and selling that CD of a cover song, like when Aerosmith copied Come Together, they had to pay the mechanical rights. The mechanical rights cost 9 cents a song per copy. That's it. That's pretty cheap, right?
I'd say so. Yeah.
So if you sell 50 or 500 CDs, or 500 copies, it would cost you $50 to pay the Beatles. Nothing, right?
That's
really cheap. To use it on a broadcast?
Because I'm thinking myself. Now you're paying Michael Jackson, though, right?
Yeah, well, his estate.
His estate.
But no, because Prince had bitched about this. He was like, fucking, it's cheap as shit to cover anybody's songs now. But to do it on a podcast, you have to buy the mechanical rights and you have to buy another right. The mechanical rights pays the artist. There's another right that has to pay the studio. And whereas it's easy if I'm making a CD, because I'm selling tangible copies, so I'm selling 500 copies, it's quantifiable. Broadcasting a podcast is like a radio show. And the license for that, you have to buy the fucking full rights, like the copyrights, and that could be anywhere from like 10 grand to $1 million. Basically like what radio shows have to do, or radio stations do.
So you're going to need more sponsors is what you're saying.
You need a lot more. I don't have any fucking sponsors.
What?
Well, Ashley Madison is my biggest contributor, but they're kind of silent. They're kind of a silent partner.
I love that theme song that they got going. In fact, hand me a guitar. We should just play that right now.
All right, let's wrap this shit up. We're bullshitting now. All right, thank you so much for coming on. Guys, appreciate everybody listening. It was fun. We'll be back soon. Thanks a lot.
My pleasure.
All right.